When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a brain now. I myself am on the brink. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dreams.
What's up, 3Bs? What's up, Athletic Gerbils? What's up, Diamond Dogs? I think I just did it out of order. This is Rhea Butcher, the host of this here podcast, which is Three Swings. It's a podcast about baseball and other things. And this is a really special episode because we have made it to 100, which in speaking with other people who make podcasts, is a tremendous feat. So I want to thank everybody that's listened and shared and written a Rosenberg question or come up to me at one of my shows and told me that they hate baseball, but they love my podcast. Anybody who's ever made any fan art for Three Swings, anybody who's posted about it, anybody who's started liking baseball, even in the tiniest bit. Thank you for helping me make this show. Thank you for continuing to listen. Thanks for buying the products that we advertise on this show to help me keep making the show. I really appreciate it. I did not foresee this show being anything like it is, except, you know, I just thought I was going to talk about baseball. And now here we are in the middle of a global pandemic and an uprising. And hopefully a revolution. we'll see. I beg of you to look towards revolutionary thought as opposed to just seeing how this turns out. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far down that road, but please register to vote. Please figure out your voting plan. Nothing is going to be as you think it's going to be, so be prepared. Please vote progressive in any and every election that you can. Please do your research around ballot props and initiatives. And a place that I've found that is very helpful for those specifically is Ballotpedia, because that'll give you a lot of information as to who is funneling money into the yes or no campaigns. And that usually helps me decide which way I need to vote on those things. so check that out. Be prepared. Talk to your friends. And just keep looking around. You know, keep those eyes open. But yes, I wanted to say thanks to everybody who's been a guest on this show. Thanks to everybody who's listened. Didn't know I was going to make it to 100, but here we are. I'm going to do the Rosenbag questions first, I think, and then we'll get into the quote postseason of baseball. And then at the end of the show, my dear friend in my actual human life and then dear friend of the show, Paul F. Tompkins, stops by to catch up on Base Buddies and what he's been doing during the pandemic. And how he's feeling. And it's a really lovely chat, and I'm excited for you to hear it. I'm actually going to, as long-winded as I usually am, which I think is perhaps what many of you come here for, I might keep it like kind of short and sweet, but I will say, because there's a Rosenberg question that gets kind of specifically into this, but what's interesting is that these 100 episodes have seen me watch the Dodgers lose the World Series twice and then also lose the division series last year. And it's been a wild ride of that. And then in my own life, it's been, I've walked through breakups and loss and triumphs and a divorce, and those are just the things in my actual personal life, not to mention the ongoing assault of police brutality, specifically on Black and Brown Americans, and the assault against healthcare, housing, income equality, abortion rights, reproductive justice, trans rights. It's just, you know, it's been consistent and throughout. And so I've been really grateful to have a place to put my thoughts and feelings and hopes and dreams, and have people respond to it. And, you know, it's funny to me to like see, you know, like somebody like Joe Rogan, who just has like millions of listeners. And I think often like, man, what if a million people listened to Three Swings? And I was like, then it wouldn't be Three Swings, because the people who listen to this podcast are the people who need to listen to this podcast. And that's who I needed to talk to. And for all I know, it could be a million people, you know? And I love all of you for listening to this podcast. And I don't, I'm just not that person. You know, I have beliefs that I allow them to grow and change. And I want to be somebody who seeks rather than forges, you know, like rather than tells people what to think and what to do. But, you know, I just I'm grateful for a place where people want to come on and talk about baseball, and they feel like they can talk about it freely, about the things that bother them about it and about the things that they love about it, and why they keep coming back to a thing that they have complicated feelings about. Because, you know, it's boring to just talk about just like how much you love something and how there's nothing wrong with it. That's just boring to me, you know? And so I just wanted to make a show for other people. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast and listen to like, quote, mainstream or whatever baseball podcast too. And like, yeah, because it's all important. It's like, I mean, I watched MLB Network like obsessively 2 years ago. I loved watching it. I loved just watching baseball all the time. And I balanced it with talking about what I thought was missing. So that's what this show has been. And I appreciate everybody for helping me make it and having a place to put more than just baseball and more than just like analytics and more than just like knowing all the stats and knowing all of this, like that you can be a fan of something in many different ways. And it doesn't have to look any one way or specific or anything, that like everything is valid. And, you know, I created a place where people who play baseball and people who don't play baseball could come on and talk about it. And, you know, I got to like do comedy and MC at the Baseball for All Nationals in 2018. And now I feel like part of that community. And it's just, it feels like being a part of a community, which is to me much more rewarding than being, you know, this like chameleonaire podcaster that like is involved in the presidential race. Like, no thanks. So I just want to thank everybody for being here, and I hope everyone is taking care of themselves, drinking water, going for walks, wearing a mask, believing in the best of us, and that, you know, it does take a long time, but that doesn't mean we have to wait. So keep doing what you're doing, and keep seeking, you know, justice. Keep being open to the truth, and you will find it. You will absolutely find it. So after this, we will be back with some Rosin Bag, and then the preview of the postseason this year. All right, we're back, and we're going to start with some Rosin Bags. We've got three, so if anybody's got any more, feel free to send them. This one came in through Instagram, and this is from Kate. I'm going to leave the last name off of there. Questions for the 100th pod. Congrats, which was very nice. What's one change you went through personally while recording the pod? What's one topic you wish you spent more time on? What have you learned about yourself in baseball? Did you foresee 100 episodes? I kind of feel like I just covered that in the intro, which is great, Kate. You gave me a great baseline for the intro. I mean, I kind of listed all the changes personally. What's one topic you wish you had spent more time on? You know, here's a topic that instead of wishing I would have spent more time on, here's something I'm going to spend more time on. Perhaps I'll do like a deeper dive into Toni Stone to give, you know, I've made reference to the Negro Leagues, haven't really done like a full episode or full deep dive on a single player. So perhaps that's something that I might do in this off season this year, which would be, I think, fun and illuminating and helpful. And that is something that taught me about baseball, something that I learned about baseball that I guess I just didn't really connect the dots, was that it was, you know, we call it the national pastime. And when I came into baseball, it was the 80s, so it was already pretty removed, but like Little League was still happening. But learning like how during, you know, like pre-World War II and then post-World War II, baseball was something that everybody did. It was like a main activity in this country of a lot of people. And it was like a working class sort of recreation. And so that is something that I learned, and that's what I learned about myself, that I actually am not that interested in like the most elite version of sports. I actually like a lot of levels of competition. That is something that I learned about myself, which wasn't something I knew. But I would also say that I, you know, learned a lot about myself in making this podcast, that people will support you. People like Bench Coach Brett will help you make a thing even when it's hard, and they will give you time and space, and they will also reach out their hand and help you to make something. And that like you really can get through just about anything. It is actually possible. And I did not know that was possible before I made this podcast. Then our next one is at Lucian Bold from Twitter. How and why should someone who didn't grow up with baseball get into it? Like, why do you personally think this sport is worth it? Which I responded to them like, well, I kind of feel like all 99 episodes leading up to this one has sort of been my thesis on why that is the case. I just think, you know, personally, I love this sport. It's been part of my life since as long as I can remember, and really, really in a passive way. But it has just been part of the fabric of my makeup. And so I just wanted to share that with other people. And I wanted to find other people who felt that way. And I wanted to like learn all the different ways that people enjoy and like the sport. And you could make this argument for any sport, but there is something to me about baseball that there is no clock. There is no time restraint. It's outside. It's played in the dirt and the grass. There's just something elementarily spiritual about it that I have tried to get at and will continue to get at, that you can't control the pace, and you can't, no matter how hard MLB and Rob Manfred try, they actually can't make the essence of this game different. It will always be there no matter what. And this one baseball initiative really bums me out, but it will not work. It will not do it. Because in the face of trying to create the game in a new image, more will spring up. And I truly believe in that. And so for me, baseball is a sport about moving through space and time with a collective and common goal. And each of us has a part to play. It can come at any moment, and we can all... We can do something as small as taking a step to the left, because we get this feeling that maybe the ball's coming there, and then it does. And I feel like that applies to life, that you can get in touch with your intuition, and you can make a difference. And the difference isn't always like, I'm going to change the world. It's like, if you want to change the world, you got to start small. So what is the tiny little step to the left that you can make in your life that hopefully leads down the line, that makes someone's day a little bit brighter, and then they maybe make someone else's day a little bit brighter, and then we all have a little bit brighter of a day? That's kind of what I think about baseball. And then finally, we've got at the Nugget 31. Is there a superstition about the number 86 in baseball? Edward Kalina on the Twins is the first player or coach to wear number 86. That's interesting to me. Bench coach Brett gave me these notes, which says, I couldn't find anything about a superstition, but interestingly, in the last three seasons, several other numbers have been worn for the first time as well. But I will say, here's my idea for 86 being, number one, it's very high up. And I think there's just a feeling in baseball, 50 always felt like the top of the heap, you know, for quite a long time for me. And so I think generally, like, the higher the number was for spring training. So people stayed away from those numbers because you looked like you were going to be sent down. And then also 86 is like, 86 is like, we're out of this, and like 86, that take it off the menu, which to me as a baseball player might also feel like 86, this guy, take him off the lineup. So that to me is like potentially why you wouldn't want to wear that number. But here are the other numbers that have been worn for the first time as well. So number 80 was first worn by the Twins right-handed pitcher Ryan Eads in 2019. 89, first worn by Red Sox right-handed pitcher Tanner Houck and Yankees right-handed pitcher Miguel Yajur in 2020. 90, first worn by Cleveland right-handed pitcher Adam Simber in 2018. And 92, first worn by Cardinals left-handed pitcher Genesis Cabrera in 2020. So with 86, 89, and 92 coming off the board this year, every possible uniform number, 0 through 99, has now been worn in a Major League Baseball game. How's that for a stat? And then our absolute final rosin bag is just baseball 2020 specific. Moni Bolas, what happened to the White Sox? The White Sox, one of the surprise breakout teams of 2020, had a horrendous final week of the season, losing six games in a row, including a 10-0 blowout loss to the crosstown rival Cubs on Friday night. That game also resulted in a one-game suspension for manager Rick Renteria and a three-game suspension for reliever Jimmy Cordero after throwing at Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras in retaliation for an earlier celebration. The good news is that the White Sox turned around and beat the Cubs 9-5 on Saturday night after erasing a three-run deficit in the fourth inning. This win keeps the Sox alive for the AL Central Division title. A Twins loss to the Reds on Sunday, coupled with a White Sox win, could give them the division championship. I think what happened to the White Sox is the same thing that's happened to many players that we're getting into, and this is all based on my theories having not watched any games, which is that this is an atypical season with little to no spring training, and like coming in super hot, consistency is something that is hard to build in a 60 game season when you've been playing your whole life 162 games with a 2 month spring training period. So it's bound to just like, which is why I think the postseason is completely up for grabs and literally anybody could win, because who knows what that preparation is going to do for a postseason like this. So I still am pulling for the White Sox despite, you know, having my connections and small loyalties to a little team called Cleveland. But like, I would love to see, I there are many teams that I would love to see up there, even though the White Sox won the World Series in 2005, which was very recent. So that segues us beautifully into the postseason preview, which bench coach Brett so lovely put forth to me. This year, 16 Major League Baseball teams will qualify for the postseason. The first three seeds in each league will go to the division winners, ordered by record. The second trio of seeds, that's 4 through 6, goes to the second place finishers in each division, ordered by record. And then the final two seeds go to the two wildcard teams. The wildcard round will be a best of three. I bet the Athletics are really pissed about this. The division series round will be best of five, and the league championship round and World Series will be best of seven. So here is the current playoff seeding as of Saturday night, which is last night. And today is the last game, and I don't think there can actually be any changes to this, hopefully. In the American League, the eight AL playoff teams are set going into Sunday. There you go. The seeding can still shift around based on what happens on Sunday. But the teams are set. So here are the current standings, which, by the way, once again, no Mike Trout in the postseason. Got to do something about that, guys. It's just not good television, you know? Number one, my Tampa Bay Rays. Two, the Minnesota Twins. Three, the Oakland Athletics. Almost said the Cleveland Athletics. Four, Chicago White Sox. Five, New York Yankees. Six, the sub-500 Houston Astros. Seven, Cleveland. And eight is the Blue Jays. Happy to see the Blue Jays in there. In the National League, two of the eight spots are still up for grabs going into Sunday. Here are the current standings. Number one, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Number two, Atlanta. Three, Chicago Cubs. Four, Padres. Five, Cardinals, and they are not clinched. Six, Marlins. Seven, the Cincinnati Reds. Did I not say look for the Reds this year? I'm pretty sure that I said early on Cincinnati Reds. And then the eighth place team is the Giants, who are not clinched. And RIP Hunter Pence, it's been a pleasure to watch your Sox play baseball. There are four teams in the running for the final two playoff spots, Cardinals, Giants, Brewers, and Phillies, and the seeding can still shift around as well based on what happens on Sunday. So who are my favorites in each league, and which of these teams could be this year's Nationals, R-E-I-E, the lower-seeded teams that make a run, and who is my World Series pick? So my favorites in each league, American League, obvious loyalty to Cleveland, pulling for the A's and the Rays and the White Sox and also the Blue Jays. Pretty happy about all of this with the exception of the Yankees and the Astros. And then in the National League, obviously pulling for the Dodgers, but I feel like the Dodgers are going to do a Dodgers thing and lose. And then, you know, I'm just going to say after that, it's mostly the Reds and the Padres. Pretty terrified about the Cubs doing well in a presidential election year with LeBron back in the finals. So we'll see. Everything's going to be fine. Which of these teams could be the Nationals? I would imagine that it would be the Blue Jays. could be this year's Nationals because they have just been having a lot of fun. But I will see. I will say that them moving from that minor league team into a full-size ballpark for these games might be a blessing, might be a curse. And who's my World Series pick? You know, I just think it could honestly be anybody. But, you know, I was very hardcore Padres, and I think the Reds could pull out like a crazy Cinderella national style run, but I'm going to go with the Dodgers and I'm probably going to be sorry for that. So we'll see. So then we got the awards picks, and I'll go into these like pretty quickly. For MVP and Cy Young this year. So for the AL MVP, Shane Bieber is a lock for the AL Cy Young, leading all AL pitchers in wins, earned run average, and strikeouts, and leading all AL players in WAR. Could he also be one of the rare pitchers to win MVP this year? His primary challengers are a pair of White Sox, Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson, and a pair of Yankees, DJ LeMahieu and Luke Voit. A late season power surge by Cleveland's Jose Ramirez has also put him into the conversation. And of course, Mike Trout is always a perennial candidate for the award. I feel like the chance of Shane Bieber getting it is pretty high, given that this season is like going to be at the same time considered an anomaly and a wash at the same time. So Shane Bieber, Cleveland right-handed pitcher, he's 8-1. He's first in the AL with that. That's his win-loss record. And he has a 1.63 earned run average, first in the AL, 122 Ks, first in the American League, 3.2 WAR, first in the American League. Jose Abreu for the White Sox, he's a first baseman. He's got a 321 batting average, that's third in the AL, 19 home runs, that's second in the AL, 57 RBI, first in AL, and 2.8 WAR, that's third in the AL. Shane Bieber is the first in all of his stats, just to say. And DJ LeMahieu, Yankees second baseman, has a .359 batting average. Wow, that's first in the American League with 10 home runs, 24 RBI, and 2.7 WAR. That's fourth in the AL. And then other candidates, as we said, Tim Anderson, the White Sox shortstop, Jose Ramirez, the Cleveland third baseman, Mike Trout, with the Angels. He's the Angels center fielder, and Luke Voit, the Yankees first baseman. I think it goes to Shane Bieber, and it would be nuts if it didn't when I look at all those stats. So on to the NL MVP. A month ago, Padres breakout star Fernando Tatis Jr. was the favorite for the NL MVP, but a September hitting slump has lowered his chances for the award. Meanwhile, Tatis's teammate Manny Machado has emerged as the MVP frontrunner alongside Dodgers right fielder Mookie Betts and Atlanta first baseman Freddie Freeman. If this were a full season, Nationals outfielder Juan Soto would also merit serious consideration for putting up some incredible offensive numbers, but having missed a third of the shortened season for testing positive for COVID, by the way, likely puts him out of contention. So we've got Mookie Betts, Dodgers right fielder. He's hitting .292. He's got 16 home runs. That's tied for second in the National League with 39 RBI and 3.3 WAR, and that's first in the NL. Manny Machado, Padres third baseman, .306 batting average, 16 home runs, 47 RBI. That's third in the NL, and 2.8 WAR, which is fifth in the NL. And wins above replacement is WAR, which is a stat that I'm still hazy on, and it's basically like that's how many wins you get when you have Manny Machado in the game as opposed to replaced with an average player. I'm pretty sure that's about what it is. Anyways, if it's wrong, I'll correct it next week. And then we got Freddie Freeman, the Atlanta first baseman. He's hitting a whopping .343 batting average, which is third in the National League. 13 home runs, 53 runs batted in, second in the NL, and he's got a 2.7 WAR, and that's sixth in the NL. And other candidates are Fernando Tatis Jr., Padres shortstop, Dansby Swanson, Atlanta shortstop, Trey Turner for the Nationals shortstop, and Juan Soto of the Nationals. He's an outfielder for them. I think it goes to Mookie Betts again, looking at all these numbers, or Mike Trout. But he's in the American League, so Mookie Betts. I think Trey Turner also makes a pretty good argument, but the Nationals haven't been doing that well this year. For some reason, when you're a shortstop, the play of the team matters more than when you're somebody like Mike Trout and you play in the outfield. You know, I don't know. And then the AL Cy Young, Shane Bieber was nearly flawless from start to finish this season and is a lock for his first Cy Young award. Not only did Bieber log 100-plus strikeouts in a 60-game season, he also became the fastest player in MLB history to get to 100 strikeouts, recording his 100th strikeout of the season in just 62 and a third innings. Shane Bieber, Cleveland right-handed pitcher, once again, he has 8 wins and 1 loss. That's first in the American League. He has a 1.63 ERA. That's first in the American League. 122 Ks, first in the American League, and 3.2 wins above replacement, first in the American League. Other candidates, Gerrit Cole of the Yankees, Lucas Giolito threw a no-hitter for the White Sox, Lance Lynn for the Rangers, Kenta Maeda for the Twins, and Hyunjin Ryu for the Blue Jays, my sweet, sweet Ryu. But I think, it's just absolutely going to Shane Bieber. There's just no arguing that. And then to wrap it up, we will go over the NL Cy Young. The NL Cy Young race is a dead heat between several deserving candidates. Yu Darvish had a remarkable bounce back season with the Cubs. Despite it being for the Cubs, I am incredibly happy for Yu Darvish. He deserves it and leads all National League pitchers in wins and quality starts. Atlanta's Max Fried has proved invaluable for the NL East champions this year as the sole ace in their rotation, and the Reds' Trevor Bauer and the Mets' Jacob deGrom have been stellar all year, leading the league in ERA and strikeouts, respectively. Yu Darvish's line for the Cubs is 8-3. He's first in the National League. He's got a 2.01 ERA. That's second. 93 strikeouts. That's third place. And 2.6 WAR, which is fifth in the National League. Max Fried for Atlanta is 7-0, tied for second in the National League, 2.25 ERA, 50 Ks, 2.9 WAR, and that's second in the NL. And Trevor Bauer for the Reds is 5-4 with a 1.73 ERA, that's first in the National League, 100 Ks, that's second in the National League, and 2.7 WAR, which is fourth in the National League. And finally, you know, baseball's favorite pitcher, Jacob deGrom for the Mets, he's 4-2, with a 2.14 ERA, 104 Ks, which is first in the National League, and 2.5 WAR. I mean, I think you got to give it to Yu Darvish. However, you can make a case for any of these pitchers. So I'm really curious to see how that turns out. And I'm really curious to see how this weird seeding that doesn't make any sense turns out for the postseason and fans of baseball. And I hope that everyone has had a good ride until now, and we'll probably keep it going through this postseason because I will actually be able to watch it. But we will be back right after this with a catch up with my dear friend, Paul F. Tompkins. Oh my God, I'm so excited for this guest for obvious reasons, because our guest is Paul F. Tompkins. Paul F. Tompkins, how are you? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm good, Ray. I'm excited to be me too.
I'm so excited you're you.
Oh, pal, I have not seen you in such a long time.
It's been so long. It's so good to see your face in the Zoom.
I know. I'm so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you too. And thanks so much for being on the 100th episode of Three Swings. Can you even believe it?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very exciting. It really is an achievement. And it feels like no time at all.
Truly.
I'm honestly shocked.
It feels like a lifetime and also just a moment.
Yes.
Just a commercial break. I had no idea. Brett emailed me and was like, we made it to 99. And I was like, 99 what? And he was like, episodes. And I was like, holy shit. I did not think that we would do it. And here we are. Made it through.
Did you, for one moment when he said we made it to 99, did you think he was talking about Luftballoon?
They go by.
They go right on by. Those balloons go by.
When they're lufting, they really just love to luft around. Kenny Lufton playing center field for the Cleveland baseball team 1995. You know?
Once they luft, they can't stuffed.
So, Paul.
Yes.
Baseball in COVID, what has that been like for you? Because we've had a friendship that started around comedy, through comedy, mm-hmm. and then we had a friendship. Then within our friendship, we were like, we both love baseball. And so mm-hmm. then we love baseball together. So we haven't really had that connection through the pandemic, the COVID, whatever.
I know.
I'm not calling it quarantine because people are moving freely in their lives. So
it's true.
It's a pandemic still.
It's true.
So what has your baseball been in COVID?
I mean, what's so weird to me, and it occurred to me, during this period, there's been the normal, you're not seeing the people that you would normally see a lot at all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little like a physically distant backyard hang here or there, but it's not like there are so many people that you realize, oh, I would have been seeing this person so much more.
Like you don't run into people.
Not doing
stand-up shows. I was like, oh, there are a lot of people that I didn't like hang out with, go to dinner with or whatever, but have friendships with because I would see them at shows a lot. You would be like, hey, how's it going? And like, know what's going on for them from social media and then just like catch up. And like, everything. I mean, there's positive and negative because everything is very, you have to really set your intention to do the thing.
Yeah.
But I do really miss that. There was a moment very early in the lockdown where I went for a walk and I ran into like a gaggle of five people who were all going on a masked walk together. And then two more people. And I was like, oh my God, you're kidding me. This is going to keep happening in this. And then it never happened again. Like I haven't run into a single person.
No.
Since then,
and it's, I forgot about running into people at shows. You get this little bonus time with people, you know? But by this point I realized like you and I would have seen so many games together.
Yeah.
We would have gone to games, we would have watched games. So there's that aspect of it that is very sad. But I have not since quote baseball season end quote has started, I just could not bring myself to watch any of the games.
Yeah.
It just felt, even just seeing clips, pictures, mm-hmm. it felt weird to me. I just couldn't do it. And I thought I was going to. I fully thought I was going to. When they announced that they were going to actually start playing games, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to check that out. And then the first opportunity I had to watch a game, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. What do you, so what are the factors that like you were like, I can't watch this thing.
I think it's that I don't want that version of
sure.
the thing that I like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's something that feels very hollow to me, mm-hmm. very empty to me, even though, and people have said, it's still the game. It's still the same game. And it's like, yes, it's the same game, but there's a lot about the experience, mm-hmm. even on TV, that
yeah.
is just, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And maybe if I watched one, maybe it would feel more, you know, familiar than I am anticipating that it would, but mm-hmm. I got a feeling no. And,
sure. yeah.
and I just can't make myself do it. And it's yeah. like, look, hey, I'm glad that ultimately if people are playing and they're not everybody is getting sick all over the place, then great. Like, I'm happy for the players that want to play. Like, look, man, I know that feeling of you not getting to do the thing you want to do the way that you usually get to do it. Is it's really tough to be doing shows without audiences right now, without live audiences. To be like, I'm very grateful for all these streaming, you know, shows that I can do from my office. But it's nothing will ever beat being in front of people. You know,
oh, yeah.
and it's having feeling that communal feeling. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I agree with you too. Like, it's not because I think it's easy. And if somebody wants to hear this in this, they're going to hear it no matter what. But I think it's easy to be like, oh, nothing's good enough, or like, you just don't like it or whatever. But it's that's not it. It's a different experience. And that is not the experience in terms of baseball, Major League Baseball. Like, that it all the, I'm realizing that many of the things that I love about the game are missing, you know?
Yeah.
And also the, you know, Rob Manfred saying we needed healing and like, that's what baseball is going to bring back. It's like, I feel that way about it. Like, I do. Mm. I believe in the
yeah.
sport as an American thing. Mm-hmm. But the moment is not now, you know, because it would provide healing when the moment was right. Like, I think about, you know, the 9/11 weekend happened recently, and like, the moment that the Mets did get back on the field was the moment that it felt like we needed that, you know. And I'm sure yeah. people disagree, but from my experience, it was like they waited and then they went out when it felt that way. And like, that's not what this feels like. It feels like a cash grab, and it feels like, oh, let's just pretend everything's okay.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to watch these guys play when I feel like they're in an immense amount of danger, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminds yeah. me of the danger that we're in. And then I yeah. just like, similar to ways I felt about, you know, the domestic violence issues in the game, and you know, just the racial inequity within the game,
mm-hmm.
that I'm just like, kids are watching this. They're not yeah. wearing masks. They're hugging each other. They're running into each other, and people are getting COVID still. And like,
yeah.
we just don't know what it means to contract the illness and recover. You know, like, I think it's
yeah.
Jose Abreu of the White Sox is like, I'm not the same guy I was before I got that, you know?
Yeah.
Which
is, that's chilling, you know?
It's chilling.
Yeah.
These are the healthiest people. Despite
yeah.
all the jokes about baseball being like, you know, you can be whatever and play it, like, that's true, but not in 2020. These guys are like insured to
the max.
Yeah,
it's not the 90s anymore. Yeah.
No, it's not the 90s. It's not the 70s. Like, these guys
yeah.
have like immense amounts of training and all,
yeah.
you know, health routines and stuff like that. That it's like, I was talking to bench coach Brett before we got into the interview, that like, I realized in between episodes that it's giving me the same feeling that football did. Like, I've never been a huge football fan, always been willing to like watch any sport because I just really enjoy sports and athletics. But when the CTE and concussion stuff started coming out, I was like, I don't know how you can watch this when you know
yes.
that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it just yeah. feels that way for me. It's taken the joy out of it, because like, injury is always a possibility, but we know too much now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that, but it's like, it's become too much of a high wire act to see, like, well, maybe these people will pull out of it. I don't know. It's also, it just seems like such hubris
sure.
That oh, we're going to do it this way. We're all going to be in a bubble and these guys will be in a bubble. And then, but it's like now it's two bubbles together.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's not, it just feels like I'm not an epidemiologist, but it just seems like, it seems like you're tempting fate. The more you're having people interact in this way, the more you are just pushing your chance, pushing your luck. And it's just not worth it to me, especially. The thing is, it's like when you think about it in terms of just about everyone involved in this sport is crazily wealthy. That if anybody could financially take a year off, it would be Major League Baseball. You know, now look, I don't know everything about how their finances work. I do know this about gigantically successful corporations like that, is that what they consider losing money is not making as much money as they would like to be making.
Correct.
Which is not the same as if you or I lose money.
Right.
Then it's like, no, I'm actually, that money is gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Cannot it's not recuperate.
Like, yeah. Like no one, they can still sell shit, you know, over the course of a pandemic. There's still things that they could do to continue to make money, just not as much money as they would like to be making.
Right. And we're also like, and I mean, I've said this before pre-pandemic about contract negotiations. We so often see how much the players are making, and we only see top line players too. Like nobody sees how much, a B or C catcher makes in the league,
which is in
the grand scheme of things, not much. Like there are a lot of guys in Major League Baseball who don't make a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
And so those guys would have actually been hurting. And I say that because their team, however, they're the corporation that employs you is a net, you know, $15 billion corporation. That's a lot of money, you know, to cover for 1 year the salaries of people who won't get by, you know, the salaries of people who sell hot dogs.
Once your aliens click over into the B section, then you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
You're good. You can take the summer off and you know, or you could take more time to figure shit out. You know what I mean? And the baseball thing to me is very, very illustrative of how everything seems to be handled. And there's a part of me that gets this. Everything is like, okay, we got to wait. We got to wait. We just got to do it. And I understand that feeling of, it feels so open-ended. We don't know when this is going to be over. We don't know if we're going to get sick. There's a feeling like probably any of us are going to get sick. I'll probably get it at some point. It just feels inevitable. And I understand the feeling of, I just want things to feel normal. I just want to feel like even a little bit, do a thing that I used to do, you know? And it's where I feel it in myself that that's where you start to get sloppy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where you start to... You start to lose sight of these are very simple precautions that we're taking in everyday life to make sure that we don't get sick or get somebody else sick. And I had a birthday recently, and my
happy
tradition,
birthday, Paul.
Thank you. My tradition is for the last, I don't know, like 10 years or something, is that my wife, Janie, and I have dinner with our friends, Mike and Cynthia, and we will go to the same restaurant every year on my birthday. Like we don't tell the restaurant it's my birthday. That's as much as I want to celebrate. Sure. That's all I need, you know?
You don't
want to
be clapped and sung at?
No, never, by the way.
Never.
So this year, we were going to, Mike and Cynthia have like a nice patio set up. I was like, oh, great. We'll get takeout. And we'll have a nice distanced dinner outside. Well, then the fires happened.
Oh, right.
And so the air was so bad that weekend that day, like we made an executive decision. We said, okay, we'll do it inside. And so they have a nice dining room with a long table. We sat at opposite ends of the table, you know. And it felt so like we were doing something. It felt like the immediate, the feeling I had was, this was like during like London during the Blitz. And we have, we've turned a light on. We're not supposed to turn on, right. You know,
I ate like a pat of butter that was for my grandmother to keep her alive, butter. You know, emotionally and spiritually. And I took it for myself.
Yeah. And I really had to say, okay, well, we're still being pretty safe. Mm-hmm. You know, we, these are people we trust. They trust us. Like, we know that we're not going all over the place, you know? So there's a calculated risk here, but it's not bananas that we're doing this, but it still made me feel weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, and leaving that, I was like, okay, got to remember, just because that felt normal doesn't
don't do it,
mean
you do it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Don't just start saying, you know what? I feel fine. So let's just start hanging out at each other's houses.
Let's go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. Multiple times tested negative, private island, you know, that kind of mentality or whatever. But exactly. I think it's so easy to afterward convince yourself that it's okay, you know?
And yeah,
but it's also about trust. And to me, and this is years in the making for me, that Major League Baseball as a corporation has just diminished the public trust. Now, there's many people who believe in Major League Baseball. Obviously, it's not a majority necessarily. Most of the people I know feel that way generally about it. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense to me that they're like, well, we just got to do it. And they definitely did not. It's not calculated risk. I mean, it is calculated risk. They're like, we don't care. You know, like we want to
do this thing. They could have spent some more time in those calculations.
They had so much time, you know, and then also football. They had so much time and they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because to them, it like costs money, and it's wild to see how much of this country is a casino. And it's not just because of the guy that's in the Oval Office. Like there's a lot that led to that, you know, where it's like, oh, this is all we're just. And which brings me to a major reason why they wanted baseball back is because they're so in bed with Vegas.
Yeah.
And like sports gambling. And you're like, oh.
Yeah,
that's the threat of America.
Like, I didn't even consider that part of it because I'm not a gambler.
Right. I just don't think about it that way. But when I was talking to a friend of the show,
Nick Francona. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. There are people that are consumed by gambling.
Consumed by gambling. And there's also people who see that as like the legitimate economy. You know, it's become
a huge
part. I mean, it is a huge part of the economy because you're just raking in cash for nothing. Ugh. You know, like you're not the overhead for a casino is like $50.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, basically.
You don't have to wash windows.
Yeah, you don't. That's a benefit. Just keep them dirty. Nobody cares.
Wait, but I'm sorry. You were saying you were talking to Nick.
Oh, yeah. He was on the show talking about I'm blanking on the ownership of the Cleveland baseball team because I literally don't care that much. But he was using like, you know, an indigenous leader owner of a casino as his like, well, they don't care about it. And it's like, of course they don't, because they're working with you. And also, if that's your pool of like, maybe, you know, go outside of the casino a little bit. But then it also dawned on me like, oh, right. They need this. Like they're in bed with that economy. I mean, FanDuel is on the mound this year, you know, and like that's a casino just because it's on the internet, you know, doesn't mean it's not. So, they just need that to happen again. Not to mention even, you know, like the destruction of the minor leagues and all those things. It's like.
I know. That really breaks my heart.
It really breaks mine, too. Because it's like the last vestige of, you know, amateur, professional, semi-pro sports. You know, we just don't even. I was talking with bench coach Brett about that, too, where it's like there's only one option, basically, for being a professional like male athlete, you know, and it's the MLB, the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA. That's it. Mm-hmm. You can't play at any other level. And I think I miss that too, which I miss my baseball league a lot during this, but I also see a lot of opportunity for people to see like, oh, me playing the sport in a semi-organized way is also part of this experience. And that becoming like, you know, cause like this just is our normal. You know, like whenever we get through this, it's not going to dial right back to 2019, you know? Like, all this stuff is going to be embedded in what we do. And, like, I just hope that it, I believe that it will create community in a different way. Like, it's just going to have to, because we've already done it, you know, like having the dinners and stuff like that. It's like, oh, I'm very, like, aware of the things that I'm doing. Like, I'm paying even more attention to the, like, my footprint in my own life. And then other people's footprints, and like who is on the same path, you know, and like not throwing people out, but just being like, you know, not for me. Like, that's just not for me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I was glad to discover that most of the people, pretty much all of the people that are in my life, we were all on the same page about this. Few people surprised me.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it is. I miss going to games so much.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now it's September. Like, that was a whole summer that it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
And to live so close to Dodger Stadium and, you know, that now it's like I would go there for a COVID test.
Right.
That's it. It really
is. And
be
in your favorite part of the stadium, which is the parking lot.
Exactly. Exactly. They might as well go all the way and like throw a gigantic tarp over the stadium. So you can't even see it.
It's just flapping. You can't. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I miss talking baseball with you. I miss seeing baseball with you. And because it was a part of our daily lives. Like, we would text each other every day about games and catch each other up on stuff. And, you know, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Even the silly things like dumb hats that New Era was putting out.
Yes,
like, what is
exactly.
this garbage? And like the like supply chain is down. So there's like no merchandise to even make fun of anymore.
We did have one text exchange about an ugly hat.
We did.
This summer.
That it said like baseball on it. And you were just like, baseball?
It said baseball on it.
They're so out of everything.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I miss like, you know, watching games at our houses together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, I will probably pay more attention during the postseason. I, you know, as much as I'm on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, that's how much I pay attention this year. I watched like opening day and, you know, back to this infernal damnation of like everything's blacked out. All the games that I really want to watch. Because I'm pretty lukewarm on Cleveland at this point.
The fact that they dare to say like we got to get baseball back in to heal the nation, but also blackouts still apply.
But also blackouts.
We're not gonna lift. It's
sanctions
demonic.
Basically. How dare you live in the same place as your team?
Yeah,
you know, and like the Padres are having the my silver lining for this baseball season. Is that teams you would likewise not see in the postseason or in the race or doing as well as they are doing well. And that is the only thing that makes my heart sing about this is that there is an advantage to like starting late and just like all the seasonal stuff that I don't totally comprehend. But the fact that the Padres are like, I will go on record and say, I think the Padres are going to win the World Series this year and like stand behind it as wearing a Dodgers uniform, right? Like,
hey man,
would
this
love
is the year.
To see that
if they're going to win, it's gotta be 2020.
It's gotta be 2020. And like the White Sox are number one in the American League.
That's
I think so as of
so
today.
Wild.
Like that is like, and the Astros are doing not as good as they used to do, you know, which has opened up for the Athletics.
And
it's too bad for them.
That's a shame.
Too
bad.
We'll
shame.
Never know what happened in 2017. Anyway, strike three on the outside corner. That's like the only sort of silver lining. But do you have a World Series prediction, Paul? Having not watched any of this, what is it, 60 games?
I'm hearing the Padres are looking good for it this year.
They've hit so many grand slams, it's crazy.
Wow. God, good for them.
I mean,
good for them.
They are terrible almost every year, you know, and like they just can't get out from behind, you know, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, and the Dodgers. And then now they're number two. And they're only like a game behind the Dodgers because the Dodgers, amazing. It's September, which is basically this year's August. And so they've started losing. Can I just tell you this one baseball thing, which is that Dave Roberts left Kenley Jansen in against the Astros, which was not a game they had to win. But in terms of like caring about your fan base at all, you got to win that game. And he left. They were up, I think, 5-1. Mm-hmm. And Kenley Jansen, who, as you know, has heart problems, also had COVID. And then
I didn't know that. Oh my God.
Is in recovery for COVID. And then the fires were happening, left Kenley Jansen in to give up, I think, 4 runs to tie the game, and then they ultimately lost.
I can't think of who would have more trouble breathing under those conditions.
Yep.
That's criminal.
It's like the most Dave Roberts option you could possibly come up with. Like
at 100%.
How could 100%. You... And people will fight me on this. I don't like being a person who, you know, rails at the manager. I never wanted to be that kind of guy. But come on.
He's earned it, though. I think he's earned it.
He's earned it. He's absolutely earned it.
Yeah. That's incredibly on brand for Dave Roberts.
It's the most Dave Roberts thing I've read about because I didn't watch it happen. Because I can't because I don't have cable.
Yeah. I mean, that really is... I guess it's the communal thing. Even watching it, just seeing people in the stands and hearing them in the stands, it gives you the feeling of being together with people.
Yep.
And I guess that's really what it is that watching it with a bunch of cardboard cutouts in the stands, it makes me feel alone. It doesn't make me feel like I'm enjoying that big, big aspect of baseball for me, which is being there with other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can't do it. I mean,
it's tough. It sounds different. It looks different. I can get down with some moments, you know, that come through the Twitter where I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But then there's always, it's like watching a movie where you're like, oh, I'm distracted by watching this movie. And then something happens where you go, why don't they have masks on or something, you know, like where you just are continually reminded of this thing that we're all going through, which is both good and bad, you know, because that to me, I guess, is the community that has usurped, you know, the community of baseball is that, this is no matter how far apart we are. By everything, we are in this together, you know, as much as we want to pretend that we're not, you know, we are going through this thing together. And it's the only thing that we can do together is the pandemic, you know, like that's it.
What if baseball this year, if Major League Baseball had been on Twitch and it had been professional baseball players playing video baseball.
The show? They were doing that.
They were doing that?
They were doing that at the beginning of when spring training got shut down. They were doing that. And I will tell you, it should have been the whole season. It was it was fantastic. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. Obviously, you're not gonna get 80-year-olds watching it, you know?
The core audience.
The core audience of the MLB. 80-year-old Republican men who are currently golfing, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Mask off golfing.
Mask off golfing in the cart. We're socially distanced and they all get in the cart together. Well, Paul, since you are aligned with me on your World Series prediction, I think we'll leave it with this question. What has brought you joy in the pandemic?
You know what? Honestly, figuring out how to do stuff like this, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's when things get back to a semblance of normality, when we can do shows in front of audiences again, it is good to know that I could still do online shows, mm-hmm. and it's going to reach more people. And so I'm thinking ahead to what is that going to be, even when I can do live shows again, because I don't know when that's going to be.
Sure.
But to have a new thing that's just this, mm-hmm. you know, and to work to craft a show towards that. So it's not just like, hey, this is the best we can do right now, but right. to make it its own thing. And it's been, I got to say, like, to do online shows has been such a joy to have something to look forward to, but then mm-hmm. also something that's fun to do where you're seeing other people, even if it's virtually. That's been the most fun, I think, that I've had.
That's great. And I've watched some of your shows. You also do like shows, just something that I think is really wonderful about you, Paul, is that you do like so many different kinds of shows and with people yeah. all over the place, like improv groups from like just cities, wherever. It's just, I wouldn't say jealous because but like, I wish that I had that ability to like do it, to like get up in front of people that I don't know. I mean, like I do that, but like to do that with other folks. And I just think yeah. that's really cool. And I enjoy that about what you're bringing to the Zoom. And I agree. Like, I think it's,
thank you.
We get this new, like a new baseline, you know, like podcasts mm-hmm. were always sort of supplementary a little bit, and it's like, oh no, this can actually be just like a perspective shift even more of like, no, this yeah. can actually be the thing. It gets to be its yeah. own thing. And
I mean that a lot of this stuff has already been in place, whether right. it's Twitch or YouTube or whatever, but there is something that just feels different about this that mm-hmm. I guess I'm looking, what's really different is I'm looking at it in a way that I didn't look at it before.
Right.
You know, and, yeah. and now I'm excited to kind of craft what my version of that is going to be.
Very cool. I yeah. love that. Yeah. It's all, I mean, that is the thing. There's like so many new ways of looking at all this stuff we were already doing, you know, because yeah. not everything's been taken away. It's just like kind of some big things that we, you know, spent a lot of time doing. And now it's yeah. like, oh, I just get to do something else, you know?
Yeah.
Because if I don't look at it that way, I get really sad.
Rhea, what's been your silver lining other than watching the teams that don't usually get this far?
Sure. Thank you for throwing my question back at me, Paul. It's great to
be
a guest on my own podcast. It's honestly super fun. I mean, I will say like connecting with people in different ways and being open to like, and like even text messaging people, I yeah. consider the communication in a deeper way, you know, like it's not like a dashed off thing. You know, I'm not making phone calls to people in between things and just like fitting it in. It's like, oh, I have a lot of space and time to actually like sit down, consider the thing that I'm doing, you know, and like,
yeah.
I just really appreciate the opportunity to really slow down and have the pace of my life change tremendously to where yeah. like the things that I'm doing are very deliberate is the word that I've been looking for this whole interview. the things that I do are very deliberate. You know, I have the luxury of taking time between the things that I do and really, really choosing what I'm doing and like feeling yeah. like, oh, I got to do that. And then if I don't like something, I just get to say like, oh, you know, not for me, you know, yeah. it's not yeah, like, yeah, oh, yeah. now I've thrown away a day or something. It's like, living in Los Angeles, you spend so much time in your car and like, I don't do that anymore.
I know, it's wild, right?
I've gotten a lot of time back, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah.
It's really strange. Like, and anytime you do get in your car, it feels like,
how does this work? What do you guys go, or?
Am I frozen? Around as much as I should be?
Am I muted? But yeah, it's been great to talk to you, Paul. Thank you so much for being on episode 100. You were an early and frequent guest when we had actual baseball going on.
I know. Well, congratulations. This is so fantastic. And I'm glad that you have, I'm glad you started this podcast. I'm glad you've been doing it for so long, and I'm glad that you're continuing to do it.
I honestly can't believe that I am, but I thank you.
No, it's a great show. And I talk it up as much as I can. It's, I think you are, you're such an excellent host and such a smart, thoughtful, and well-spoken person. I really enjoy listening to this show.
Oh, Paul, I think the same of you. That's the sweetest thing. Thank you so much for saying that. And I mean, I wouldn't be making a podcast if it wasn't for you, you know, listening to all of your podcasts. I literally did for my entire, you know, the whole time. So
look, my whole thing is I just want to be there so someone else can say, well, I could do that.
Well, you did it. I'm proof positive.
I couldn't be prouder.
Well, it was so great to see you, Rhea. Thanks for being on my podcast.
Rhea Butcher. Absolutely. I miss you so much.
I miss you too. Let's do a friendship Zoom and absolutely down to distance hang sometime.
Let's do it.
Give Janie my best. Thanks so much for being on the show. We love you.
Love you too.
And if you liked it, you liked it. This is Bench Coach Brett saying thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week for episode 101.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.